All right, the last case is case number 8. That is 23-698.
Long afternoon.
Good afternoon, Attorney Gregory Miller for the appellant.
Hello again, Attorney Miller. Okay, could the representatives for the town of Oxford please identify themselves?
I'm Officer Darren Pavlik. The last name is P-A-V-L-I-K.
P-A-V-L-I-K.
Correct.
And town of Oxford.
Correct.
Okay, Officer, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure. I think you probably saved your last... the easiest one for the last case of the day, but basically, I'm the officer that does the pistol permits, and then if there's a denial, which in this case there was, I discuss it with my supervisor, Sergeant Gray, and then we send out a denial letter. So the main reason that the appellant was denied was because he had made a comment to one of our sergeants when he was being transported after an arrest, which has since been gnarly, but after the arrest, he made a comment that he was going to put a bullet to his head. So, with that being said, he was issued a denial letter that listed that, and it also listed the fact that on the application, he didn't disclose the arrest. Now, you're not required to, but I did put that on the denial letter. So, the main reason that we denied him was we just didn't feel comfortable issuing him, allowing him to get a town of Oxford permit when he made a comment that he was going to harm himself with a firearm. Upon filling out the paperwork for this hearing, I did note one other instance which to me shows a serious lack of judgment. It had to do with him setting up, he was a firearm instructor, and it had to do with him setting up a firing range in between his house and the residence next door, which is only approximately 150 feet away. And the little firing range he set up in the middle of the two properties, on his property, but in the middle, downrange from that was the very corner of a Girl Scout camp called Camp Antioch. It was a good couple hundred yards away, but still it was directly downrange from. So the town of Oxford Planning and Zoning came out and ultimately issued him a cease and desist for the business that he was operating as far as his shooting range. So that was listed. That was not listed on the denial letter, but that was listed on the paperwork to submit for this hearing. So that would be our opening statement.
PZC came in for that, huh?
Yes.
Surprised it wasn't like the FBI or something. Counselor, are you aware of that second argument that wasn't in the denial letter? Okay. And you're prepared to address that, or?
I am.
Okay. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Anytime there's been a statement of possible self-harm in Connecticut, obviously there's going to be a concern. In this case, my client was transported two-wheeler, a facility. We have submitted a copy of the letter from Wheeler on that evaluation.
It's a correction.
Please talk to him.
Okay, so I understand afterwards he went, but we have submitted the report from Wheeler, which found no concerns. They did not find that he poses any threat to himself or others. He was drug and alcohol tested. They found nothing. So I will reference the fact, if the concern here is whether he is a threat to himself or other, we would refer the board to the report, the evaluation by the professionals, and I don't think it finds substantiation for a comment that may or may not have been made. My client is currently a chief range safety officer, unlike my prior case. Yes, he holds current certifications as a chief range safety officer, has worked as an instructor for some time. He is a licensed plumber, working for one of the major, I guess you could say, MTA. He also publicly holds a plumber's license. He also has been a member of Seymour Fire Department for the past 5 years. We have also submitted a letter from the captain over at the FD, having worked with him over many years, speaking to his character, safety, having been around firearms with him, and I think the letter that we've submitted probably speaks for itself, but it's a very, very strong letter. The third, we referenced the fact that we submitted a letter in from William Forrester, who's a police officer in Avon, Connecticut currently. In that letter, he indicates that he has known the appellant since 2001. And once again, I'll refer the board to the letter, but it's a very strong letter by a person who has known him for more than 20 years. Coming from a police officer, I think that carries additional weight. We have submitted a letter from Mark LaBelle, who is one of his neighbors, who has known him for many years. Once again, a very strong letter about knowing him, dealing with him in the neighborhood, children having been there together. I think he says in there, has served as a babysitter for the appellant. And he says, I know him well. I know his character. I have no reservations about him having a pistol permit as a neighbor. There's another letter that's in there that's from Tim Tallcoach. He is a teacher in one of the local schools, has known the appellant since 2003. Once again, it is a very strong recommendation saying, I've known this person for more than 20 years. He was an outstanding athlete. I worked with him over many years, and I strongly recommend him for this permit. There's a letter of recommendation in here from Kurt Miller. Kurt Miller is the former first selectman of the town of Seymour. Once again, if the board will take a look at that letter, we have an individual here who has served in multiple capacities within the town, is a former first selectman, has known him for many years, and strongly recommends it. Finally, the appellant's father is a retired police officer, grew up in a police family, been around firearms his entire life. I think what we have here is a isolated incident. There's no conviction. It was resolved, and as we sit here today to look at suitability, I think if the board will look at this in light of the very strong recommendations that are in, the conclusion we would hope the board would reach is that he is of suitable character.
Thank you, Council. Officer, you may proceed with your case.
I presented why I, after discussing it with Sergeant Gray, my supervisor, I just didn't feel comfortable issuing a permit for the aforementioned reasons. We were unaware he went to a treatment facility after the night that he was transported to the hospital when he mentioned that he wanted to harm himself. But I have nothing further to present.
Okay. I have a feeling the chief's going to have a question, but...
We just seem to be missing some paperwork, that's all. Like, Waterbury Hospital paperwork?
Oh, you mean from the appellant?
I have a copy here, but I did submit it.
Is it?
We received a copy from the licensed professional counselor.
Oh, the Waterbury Hospital one?
Wheeler. I have a question regarding that. With the
We're not to him yet.
We're not to the officer. Him yet? Okay. So let me stay in order. Yeah.
We don't have anything from Waterbury Hospital.
Yeah.
We
have
something
here
from Wheeler.
We're going to get to that. I'm causing a stir here. I'll just stay on track. Council, you have questions for the officer.
Officer, did you ever see the range on the property? You made a reference. I mean, it wasn't in your grounds for denial. I haven't objected to this. But could you describe that range to me?
Yes, it was between the two houses. The distance between the two houses was a little less than 150 feet. The range was set up perpendicular to the two houses and the roadway facing downrange. And it was with a berm, or there really wasn't a dirt berm or a big hill behind it. As far as I can remember, there were some pallets with some fire hose draped over it, maybe 8 to 10 feet. And it just, we don't have any town ordinances in Oxford specifying exactly what you need, but it's based on the police to come out and also planning and zoning, and from what other people in the town have set up that do shoot or are instructors, it was inadequate. And the fact that it was facing, you know, down towards the corner of the Camp Antiochs, in my view, wasn't very safe. Because even though there's a certain certain backdrop or whatever where you have your targets, accidents do happen. I mean, they happen on our police range. And but yes, I did go out there and see it. Yes.
Could you tell me what the approximate length of the range was?
Length of the range was maybe 25 yards, but I did not measure it.
Okay. Was there soil that was excavated or anything below ground level that you saw?
Not that I recall.
Nothing.
Questions by the board?
Sure.
Colonel?
Was a risk warrant done?
Yes. After he was transferred to the hospital, a risk warrant was done and the firearms were seized.
Okay, so you applied for the risk warrant and that was granted?
Yes.
So we don't have a copy of that. And,
it was noted in the report. We didn't
yep.
provide a copy of the actual risk warrant, but yes.
Okay. I believe the risk warrant expired on 3/23, March of 23.
Oh, okay.
Was the expiration. So we're not under a bond.
No.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I did see the emergency committal form. That's it. That's all I have.
Other questions?
Yeah, from the photograph that was in the file of the range, it looked to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that there was a slight upward slope of the hill behind the range area. Is that
I don't recall. Because that was back in 2020 when the thing happened with planning and zoning. And because planning and zoning took the lead on it, and I had a different supervisor at the time, but he said to leave it up to them. So unless they took photos, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall behind the range, how far, you said a few hundred yards, was the Girl Scout camp?
Yes, roughly.
Is it wooded, open, do you recall?
Well, it's wooded, and also behind where the appellant had his range, it was kind of like in the middle of the wooded area between the two houses. So there were trees and stuff behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It was somewhat protected.
I understand
yes.
your concern. I'm just trying to get a better picture of
yep.
the whole thing. All right, thank you.
Other questions? I'm just looking at the order to discontinue, cease and desist from planning and zoning. Was it your understanding this range was for business purposes or commercial purposes?
Yes.
Okay.
And the appellant was, you know, the appellant was honest. You know, he's a firearm instructor and he held classes in his garage and he had TVs and things like that, I believe also in his downstairs, but then the shooting part of it he would hold outside in this range that he had set up between the houses.
Okay. No other questions? Any other witnesses?
No.
You can see.
I'll call you.
Okay.
You've heard the testimony here. Despite the fact that we're going to let the range stuff come in here, I think it's relevant based upon the fact that you're talking about the fact that you are chief range safety officer. And if the range was, you know, unsafe, I think I understand where they're coming on from. That's I'd like to address it. So first of all, let me ask you, what was the length, what was the distance that you were shooting at on this range?
10 feet.
Okay. And what caliber firearms were you shooting?
22.
So this range And the purpose of this, I think I heard a reference to commercial activity. Was this incidental to instruction that you were giving?
Yes.
Okay. So your testimony is that as part of the live fire, that you had students shooting at 10 feet with 22 caliber pistols?
Yes.
Could you describe that range to me a little bit?
Basically, I just moved to the town of Oxford. I'd been teaching prior. I didn't know what the laws were, the ordinances. I checked with the state. The state said to refer to the town. The resident trooper at the time had told me, as long as you have a backstop, that's all you need. I had checked with all my neighbors, gotten permission. All the surrounding neighbors in my house. One lives to the right of me, and my house is here, so I would say the range is in between, and then there's a house that is way over here, but their property sort of abuts the corner of where we're shooting. I had gotten permission. They had both those neighbors had come over. I had called Camp Anziox. Basically, that's, I don't know exact, maybe 50, 60 acre parcel. Now, their property does abut, but the camp is on the other side of this parcel. So it wasn't like I was shooting into where they were. I had tried to do my due diligence before I had set any of this up. Like I said, I had called the state. I had called the town. I checked with my neighbors.
What could you tell me about the range itself?
I took a little mini excavator and I had dug sort of like a trench and a down a little bit, downward angle a little bit. I would say the backstop was approximately 6 feet high, and then I had pallets with plywood with a weaved fire hose as a, like an upper extra safety. We weren't shooting up there, but you know, the shooting took place down here. And then behind that was my shed. So I felt comfortable enough with the distance we were shooting and the caliber we were shooting that there would be no issue with that. I got permission from everyone. The problem then was when I had put a letter in. I live on basically the street comes up and then there's a double cul-de-sac on either side. So basically it's sort of like an enclosed community. I had put a letter in everyone's mailbox just saying that I wanted to shoot a higher calibers on my own, and if anybody had an issue, to let me know. And that's when the town got involved, and they didn't cease and desist me for shooting. They ceased and desist me for running a commercial business in a residential property without a permit. So it wasn't the safety aspect, more so as the zoning stopped me from teaching at the house.
Now, when these students are shooting at 10 feet with 22 caliber pistols, how are they supervised?
One-on-one with me.
Okay, so how close to them would you be?
Right next to them.
So you're right next to them. You're qualified. I think there was a statement here, but you could confirm this on the record. You are currently qualified as a chief range safety officer?
Yes.
And how many?
A rifle instructor, a pistol instructor, and a Utah pistol instructor.
And how long have you been an instructor?
Approximately 5 years.
Okay. And the, in your opinion, the students who are shooting in this range, did you have concerns that perhaps the berm was not high enough or bullets could pass through?
No.
And I think your testimony is you took a mini excavator, you dug down into the earth.
Yes. Yeah, so are the targets downward?
Okay. So it goes down into the earth. The targets are within that area that you have dug out with your mini excavator.
Yes.
And then you set pallets and fire hose on top of it.
Yes.
Is that sufficient to stop a 22?
Yes.
There was a reference here to an incident where you were arrested and where subsequently there was a risk protection order. The outcome of that arrest, were those charges dismissed?
Yes.
And as to the risk protection order, That order expired last year?
Yes.
Was there an actual hearing on the RPO, or did you just waive the hearing on it?
We waived the hearing under the old statute, and I guess there's a new statute on risk warrants. I don't know exactly how that works now, but I fell under the old statute, I guess is the right wording.
Okay, so there was no actual hearing on the RPO. You simply chose not to contest it and let it enter for the...
Excuse me, wasn't it a risk warrant or was it an RPO? Because it sounds, RPO was pretty new.
This is under the prior statute, Chief.
So it would have been a risk warrant?
Yes.
Not the RPO?
Correct.
Okay.
I apologize, Chief, you're absolutely correct.
I didn't realize they were called something different.
Well, they're two different things now.
Okay, sorry.
I made a reference in my opening statement to the fact that your father was a police officer?
Two of my uncles, not my dad.
Okay, two of your uncles, and what departments were they with?
One was a statey, and one was in CR.
Okay.
Both of them just retired.
The both of them are recently retired. You grew up with firearms?
Yes.
And that's all that we have. I would ask the board to take a look at these letters of recommendation. They're so strong from people who have known him for many years. We essentially have what I believe is an isolated incident. I'm doing my closing statement. My apologies.
Do I get to cross, or?
Yes.
No, we're just going to be, no. Of course not. Yes, officer, you can proceed with cross-examination.
Okay, so my first question would be, you said that the neighbors on both sides of you, you contacted them and they were in agreement with you setting up your shooting range.
Yes.
Because that's not the case. The two neighbors, the one to...
All right. How about you continue asking questions?
Okay.
If you
okay.
want to rebut it, let's just go in
okay.
order.
Okay.
Yep.
My other question would be, so you said you dug, because like I said, I this is 3 years ago, going on four, and I don't remember exactly what it looked like, but you said you dug down a little into the earth?
Yes.
And then you put the
pelleted wooden backstop.
Right, right, with the fire hose over it. You said
right.
it was about 6 feet?
The dirt was about 6 feet, give or take, and the wood would bring it to about maybe 10.
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
All right.
I never measured the actual...
Right, and true, if a bullet was shot into that, that would stop it, but, you know, accidents do happen. And, all right, those were my only questions on cross.
Okay. Does the board have questions of the appellant, Colonel Lillinger?
Just one quick one, I'm sure there'll be others. One was, this is a denial from the... From the town of Oxford.
Yeah, I had a permit prior that got revoked, and I didn't appeal in time.
Okay,
so
I was wondering why this was
I misread the original form and didn't get my appeal.
Yep. Okay, that was that question. That's all I have. People ask.
I have some questions. You had, unless I was. Dozing. I didn't hear any commentary on the March 12th, 2022 threatening suicide and taken to Waterbury Hospital for evaluation,
yeah,
then subsequent evaluation at Wheeler Clinic. And I'd like to hear more details on that, please.
Those were about to be my questions, too, because we spent a lot of time on the range.
Yeah.
The main issue is the mental health issue.
Yeah, I wanted to address something.
Maybe doctor would help if you asked a specific question.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did not see anything in the packet that I received on the evaluation that you actually had at Waterbury Hospital on March 12th.
I apologize, I thought I submitted it with my paperwork, but I do have a copy.
Do you have any objection to my taking a look at that?
No.
Do you want to look at it first?
Sure, that would be great.
It's just basically, I mean, it's all nonsense.
What is that, like two or three pages?
Yes.
That's going to be the discharge form.
The other ones are just.
I think Kyle had the idea. We're going to come out from then on.
We're going to have to take that with us if we let it in.
That's fine.
Okay, it does say under diagnosis, yes. Adjustment disorder with mixed anxiety and depression. Okay, yeah.
All right, you can ask that forward to the doctor. She'll be in the best position to understand what that is.
Who wants to see it?
Doctor wants to see it.
Doctor comment. I'd like to see it, and anybody else.
So that should have been presented.
I thought it was.
At least, yeah, 10 days ago. Luckily, they're not.
So this is an interesting point, and almost every time we have a mental health issue like this, I go over this for educational purposes. This is actually discharge instructions. It's not actual clinical record from the evaluation in the emergency room. So it's instructions that the hospital is obligated to give anyone they see for reference to aftercare. So let me just take a look at that. It gives instructions for aftercare, but it doesn't provide any details of the actual assessment. However, what I can deduce from this is that they didn't keep you at the hospital. And an adjustment disorder with mixed anxiety and depressed mood is not as serious a condition as if you were found to be seriously depressed, right, with active suicidal ideation and a plan for self-harm. They do recommend that you follow up with Griffin faculty physicians. Was that your primary care doctor?
It was at the time, yeah.
And did you see your primary care doctor?
I did. And they told me that they weren't legally allowed to give me any sort of assessment, so I had to go to an independent assessor.
Well, he could have, but in his professional judgment, he probably felt as a internist or family practitioner that he would prefer that you be evaluated by someone with mental health training.
Okay.
So you went to Wheeler Clinic a little over 2 months later.
The court had told me that I needed to go get a mental health evaluation, so I did that.
Okay. The gentleman who wrote the letter for you, which was very brief and didn't detail anything about the assessment, was that the same clinician who actually examined you at Wheeler Clinic?
Yes.
Can you go over how much time he spent with you and what questions he asked you that would be referable to the March 12th incident?
I can do my best. It was a couple years ago. I want to say I was there almost all day, and he asked me, had to be a million different questions about my past, what was happened, the incident, and I can't remember exactly what was asked. There were so many questions, but he did ask me a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. It was pretty thorough, I thought.
Did he know that you were going to him? Were you going to him to get a letter to send to us for your appeal, or why did?
I had gotten that because at the time I was going through a court case, and they had said to get it done.
Okay, because the letter really doesn't say much except no services are required. It really didn't go into any detail on what the nature of the examination was.
That's all I was given. Okay. At the time the court took it, and that was all they
did. Essentially the letter just says no services were required, but there was no detail on the assessment undertaken. But again, I would presume, although I don't know for sure, if there were concerns at Wheeler Clinic, they would have recommended that you continue in treatment with them?
No, I had also at the same time I was seeing a talk therapist.
Oh, you were?
And I had already seen her beforehand. And I started with her again. I just myself didn't find the talk therapy to be beneficial to me.
Uh-huh. Was she affiliated with Wheeler Clinic, sir, or in private practice?
She was with Griffin also.
Oh, she was with the Griffin faculty,
yes,
physicians. And what kind of a clinician was she? What was her degree?
Psychiatrist, I believe.
She was an MD or a, for therapy? Usually, these day and age, we MDs are being not as well reimbursed for therapy as clinical psychologists or social workers.
I was seeing a psychologist. I don't want to say the right wrong titles. I believe she was a psychiatrist.
Did she prescribe medication for you?
Do you know her name? No, okay.
If you give me a second, I can, it'll come to me.
Okay.
Her name is Nell, Dr. Nell. N-E-L-L-E, I think.
Is that her last name?
I think that's her first name. I'm not sure.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
So was it weekly therapy that you were engaged in?
Beforehand, yes, and then I went weekly a little bit after, and then she said that we didn't need to go every week, we could just push them out. So then it was like once a month.
Okay, and was medication involved at all in your treatment with her?
No, not with her.
Just talk therapy?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a look at this? It really doesn't say much other than what I said. Is this your only copy, sir? Do you want?
It is my only copy, but it's not.
We need to take it.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you sure?
I mean, if it's not a hassle.
Do you want me to take pictures and send it to my email? If you want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
We just need it in the record.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to...
Hold, please.
So, did you enter into therapy shortly after that emergency room evaluation?
Yes.
Okay. And again, you saw this clinician for weekly psychotherapy for how long? Before you began to taper it?
I think it was approximately maybe 4 sessions. See, I had already seen her a few times, but then I saw her, I stopped seeing her, and then I started to see her again afterwards.
I see. So you were seeing her before this event?
Right.
Related to concerns just over the same kinds of domestic issues that occurred?
No, it was just like life and just somebody to talk to about issues.
Four sessions for me would be once a week. You saw her for a month, and then she recommended that you taper down?
Yeah.
After that?
I want to say it was about 4. Maybe it was a few more. I don't remember exactly.
Okay. And approximately when did you officially terminate therapy with this clinician?
Maybe a couple months later. I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Okay. Did you terminate with her after the evaluation at Wheeler Clinic or before the evaluation at Wheeler Clinic?
I think it was after.
Okay. Thank you.
We just both kind of mutually agreed that it wasn't really helping me. Because I, like I said, I initially went to see her beforehand, mm-hmm. and then we kept seeing each other.
Did she recommend that you stop because it wasn't helpful, or that it was helpful and she didn't feel that you needed the therapy anymore?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
I don't know exactly. We sort of mutually agreed. She said she didn't really think that I needed to be coming to her, so I said, well, I gotta be honest, I don't want to, you know, offend anyone. I just said I just didn't think it was for me. Just wasn't what I thought it would be when I started.
So you had a sense that you weren't getting as much out of it as you had hoped.
Right.
Okay.
Other questions, Colonel?
So we sort of been dancing around, always ask the question, what happened that day?
yeah,
you know, you had a domestic violence issue with
me and my girlfriend at the time, I got into an argument.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know if we.
You can tell us whatever you want.
Okay. So we got into an argument and we started yelling at each other and we got into a scuffle over a phone. And the exact quote was, how would you feel if I ended up with a bullet in my head?
So
I was never.
So who did you say that to?
I said that to my girlfriend.
Okay.
At the time.
Okay. Okay.
And then in the scuffle of the ride over to the troop, in the back of the car,
yep.
The officer had thought that I had said to her, how would you like it if I put a bullet in your head?
Mm-hmm.
So basically I clarified my statements to him. I didn't reassess and say I was going to do that to myself. I just wanted him to know that I didn't threaten her in any way. And she corroborated that story that I didn't threaten her. I just had said, you know, how would you like it if I ended up with a bullet in my head?
All right, so you said that to her, not to the police officer while being transported.
Right.
Okay, because I took it as while you were being transported. That's that's when you said that, based on sort of the information. Are you still with that individual?
No, we split, but we're on much better terms now than we were going through a breakup. And had some deaths in the family. And
yep. So, based on the statement, so your girlfriend at the time told the police you made that comment, correct?
Right.
All right. And that was the, they did the emergency committal. So what happened from there?
I went to Troop A.
Yep.
And went through all that. And then I had said to them, I said, I assume you're going to have to take my guns away. Because I kind of knew what was coming. So they said, yeah. And then I gave them codes to all my safes. And they did whatever they had to do. And then from Troop A, they brought me to Waterbury Hospital. And then from Waterbury Hospital.
So by what time did this occur? If you remember.
Maybe like 8 o'clock.
At a.m., p.m., 8 at night. Took you to Waterbury Hospital.
By the time I got to Waterbury Hospital, it was late.
Midnight.
Yeah, so then.
So what time did you, how long were you at Waterbury Hospital?
They let me go in the morning. They wanted to let me go, but there was no doctors to release me, so that was, once the doctor came in and was able to, then they let me leave.
Other questions? Chief?
I would still like to understand the domestic. You described it as a scuffle, but you got arrested. So what were the accusations?
I got charged with disorderly conduct. Basically, when we were wrestling on the phone, I had pushed her out of the way.
Did she fall?
She fell in the snow.
Oh, you were outside?
Yeah.
Was she injured?
No.
Was she arrested?
No.
Okay, go on. So you pushed her. She.
We didn't. Basically, I can't. I mean, I'm only speaking. She's not here, so. None of us wanted anybody arrested. She didn't want me arrested, but unfortunately, once we had told them what happened, that was it. And she desired every court case, and we were trying to just get it all taken care of.
I think what the board is going to struggle with is the arrest, yes, but the mental health issue where you were sent to the hospital, evaluated, and there are no records.
I just gave them what they gave me.
Yeah, no, but your records are there. And the record we do have, all the letters of recommendation are clearly addressed to the Board of Firearms. It's known that you're applying for a pistol permit. The one from Wheeler Clinic, as to whom it may concern, doesn't mention guns at all.
Well, it was.
So it's really not helpful to the board.
I understand.
Something intake and discharge papers at the hospital that night would be helpful. And then now you had some follow up afterwards. A letter from whoever was treating you then, or even now, if that were the case, would be most helpful. That happens sometimes in these cases. That we have to resolve, is there a danger?
I understand.
Or not?
When the risk warrant was up, they gave me all my firearms back. They cleared every check, and I have them on out. I feel that I'm more than capable, and it was more of an isolated incident that just got out of hand and I said something stupid.
Yeah, it may be, but the records are very important to us.
I understand.
The testimony's good. I mean, we do want to hear from you some very
right.
You seem very honest.
I wish I was able to give you more. At the time that I had gotten the Wheeler Clinic, it was for the court case, that everything was intertwined, so I didn't, the wording of the letter really wasn't of my concern at the time. I apologize. That's just what they gave me then, and they knew at the time that there was firearms involved, and I was trying to get my pistol permit back. I didn't know how any of this worked because I'd never been in trouble. So
sure.
I thought when it was done, that they just give it back to you.
Well, the board also sends you a letter saying if mental health is an issue and you need certain things.
Right, yeah, no, I have that. I thought that was sufficient.
And I didn't see those, but from the doctor's description, they were just, now that you left the hospital, these are the things you should do, maybe. If it was depression, it'd say, look out for these symptoms, things like that.
Sure.
What we were looking for is your intake, what you said to the hospital people, what the doctors and nurses, how they evaluated you, everything that was going on that night.
And even at
discharge.
Right. I apologize. I thought that paperwork was what you guys were looking for.
And then 4 years later, 3 years later, maybe a letter from the current provider was unhelpful.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's more too late now, I guess.
Yeah.
All those things would have been helpful.
I just have one quick follow-up question based on what you were just discussing with the chief. You received your guns back.
Yes.
How long have you had them in your possession?
Since that March, when that... As soon as that lapsed?
Yeah, what was that date, sir?
I think it was March 20th of last year.
Of 2023?
Yes.
Okay, so for 8 months or so, you haven't used them to harm yourself or anyone else?
No.
That we're aware of?
That I'm aware of, either.
So, if I understand something you said, maybe 5 minutes ago, the statement about, how would you feel if I put a bullet in my head, that was not really a statement of suicidal intent, was it?
It was more just to get a rise out of her, because we were arguing.
Okay. And have you ever had a suicidal intent?
No. And I've had guns since I was 18.
Thank you.
Sir, in the report we have from Oxford, it says you admitted to the police to pushing
Stacy
to the ground twice.
Yeah.
So you just push her to the ground twice?
Yeah, it might have been twice. Once or twice. If that's what it said then yeah, that's what happened. I'm not denying it.
Then the report says that I think Stacy said you had been off medication for approximately 2 weeks. She said he takes medication for anxiety and depression. Then that you stated your doctor took you off your current medication because he wants to start you on a new medication.
Yeah, at the time there.
And Stacy then said, in order for you to start the new medication, he needs to be completely off the old medication, and that the doctor made you stop your medication cold turkey. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is this the same clinician you were talking to me about?
At the same time, I was seeing the therapist. I was seeing I apologize if I get the titling is wrong. But
a psychiatrist. But I asked you if medication was involved, and you said no to me.
No, I said not with the therapist. I didn't.
Okay. What medications were you taking?
I tried trazodone and Celexa, maybe?
On two separate occasions or together?
One was started, then I tried the other one, and then he took me off of those, and then I tried, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
So those are both antidepressants, and typically they're prescribed for someone who has major depression, not adjustment disorder.
Well, they prescribed me because I was not sleeping well. So the trazodone, they said, is for that, but they also said it was for to help you sleep, I guess.
If you were taking them at the same time, oftentimes trazodone is used off-label in low doses for induction of sleep because it's a sedating agent. But Celexa is a primary antidepressant, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Uses for
the treatment of major depression, generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social phobia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
conditions
think
of
I had
that sort.
Stuff, but I had gone there mostly to help me try to help me sleep better, and that's what they gave me.
Did the doctor who was prescribing the medication explain to you what conditions she was treating you for with those prescription medications?
He just said that the anxiety and the sleep, he thought they were hand in hand.
Anxiety and sleep,
yeah.
Okay.
Finally, you stated earlier that you had made the comment to Stacy to I forget what you said exactly, get a rise, something to that effect out of her.
Yeah.
At the end of the report, it states, while on their way to Troop A, you made a comment to Sergeant Cipriano that you were going to put a bullet in your head.
Yeah, that's incorrect. And I've actually spoken to him about that. He doesn't recollect, but I never said I was going to do that. And I believe they have body cam footage, he said.
But you don't have...
So your statement is that you were clarifying to the officer who was transporting you what you had actually said to your girlfriend.
Yeah, he was on the phone with one of the officers at the house. And it's like I said, somewhere in there they thought I had said. They had gotten confused when they thought I had threatened her. And I just wanted to make sure, like, I have no problem admitting to saying what I said, but I didn't say that. I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
That's what was taken from it.
Okay.
Any other questions by the board?
Allowed to ask any other ones?
Yes, you may.
So I just have one other question for the appellate. So when you went to Wheeler, what it was called?
Yeah, Wheeler County.
And then when you were discharged from there, they suggested you follow up with a therapist, and that's when you went to see the one for the four sessions?
I was already seeing her, but continued to see her.
Okay, so, I mean, for...
Wheeler didn't say that, I apologize. Wheeler didn't say that,
Well, my question to you is, for anybody that's, and I know from my own experience, who's had to go to counseling or therapy, four sessions is nothing. I mean, that's just breaking the ice. So if you were unhappy with the therapist you were seeing, and it was only four sessions, did you make an attempt to get another therapist that maybe you'd be more aligned with? Because
I didn't see her for only four sessions. About after four sessions, we started to space it, not weekly. I saw her for more than four sessions, if I apologize for misconfusion.
I was under the impression you saw her for four sessions and then you ended it.
We continued to go. We just started to space them out a little further.
Okay. that's my only other question.
Okay. It still was a fairly abbreviated course of therapy, though.
I would say I saw her 15 times total. 15 and 20 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Give or take. I don't know exactly.
Okay, out of fairness, anybody else have any questions? Okay, seeing none, any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I think my client has been fairly responsible about dealing with an issue. He was seeking therapy before this. He continued therapy after this. I think the question we have to ask today is, as we sit here today, is he of suitable character to have a permit to carry pistols and revolvers? I think the first thing the board has got to put a lot of weight in is the fact that a medical professional at Wheeler was asked the question of, does he pose a risk to himself or others? And I'm not a medical professional, but as I read that, when they're saying no additional services required, they're saying he doesn't pose a risk to himself or others. And if I have that wrong, I'll defer to the doctor. Number two, when we look at his life, I think, you know, across today, we've talked about the fact that history is very important to this board. The letters that we have here, I think, are exceptionally strong, and they speak to a lifetime of history. They speak to an individual who was a very successful athlete. In order to do that, it takes discipline, commitment to it. His coach, who's known him for 20 years here, speaks to what a fine human being he is. We have neighbors. We have police officers who have known him for many years. We have, you know, firemen within the town that have known him for many years. We go on down this, we've got the former first selectman of the town of Seymour. As you go through it, I think the picture that comes up here is a man who had a problem, was responsible about that problem, got treatment for that problem, and now would like to be able to continue to pursue his teaching as a chief range safety officer. Under the totality of the circumstances, I think under the Connecticut standards, he is of suitable character.
Thank you, counsel. Officer, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. So in my closing statement, I would just like to first point out that the main issue here, as some of you pointed out, was the mental health aspect. The shooting range does, to me, show a gross lack of judgment only because he is a certified firearms instructor, okay? And even though just a corner of the Camp Antioch stuck out downrange from where he was set up, it still is their property. There still could be a Girl Scout playing hide and seek or whatever. And even though it's a low caliber gun, most people know that when you fire a low caliber gun, after a certain distance, the bullet starts going down. So even though the range isn't the main issue here, it still, for somebody who should know better, because he's a firearm instructor, that should have been more well thought out. Secondly, I didn't speak to one neighbor. On that cul-de-sac, there's probably 20 neighbors. I didn't speak to one that was approving of what he did. Unfortunately, I didn't bring a picture of the houses, but his house, the corner of the east side of his house and the west side of the house next door is only 150 feet. The houses, we're not talking acres upon acres. Now, the neighbors were very upset that he was shooting. And he did put a flyer in everybody's mailbox, but then he started holding his classes where he was shooting outside. The neighbor to his right, the Tweedies, Scott and Sarah Tweedy, have two dogs. They were extremely concerned because they're hunting dogs. And where he had his range set up, it was in a little wooded area, and they were afraid that, you know, their dogs might venture into the woods. The neighbor to the left of him actually has a long extended driveway and it comes around back. So their house is offset, but it's kind of behind him and the shooting range is here. They were the other neighbors that were vociferously opposed to him shooting anywhere down because they have two younger sons, and they also had a dog. So when he made a comment before that he talked to the neighbors on either side, and that's totally false. Everybody in the neighborhood was upset, especially the two that were on the side. And thirdly, I don't think it's right that he didn't bring the discharge report from the place where he received, he got the discharge report, but what the doctor was referring to, and he has an attorney, and the instructions clearly state that you have to have everything in within 10 days of the hearing. So how that piece of information, now the discharge papers may say certain things about maybe not this follow-up care or this or that, but I still think that should have been provided for us to make an intelligent decision, especially when he has an attorney. So that's what I would close with.
Just one last question to somebody. Yeah. Is the range still there?
No.
Okay, thank you.
If I could just comment just very briefly, just goes to professionalism. I was only retained a matter of days ago. So at the point where all of this was coming in, my client did not have the assistance of counsel.
I had the assistance of another counsel that unfortunately I had to go to the new one.
Okay. Just thank you for the clarification. Yep.
Just for my own, that both neighbors had come over and gave me the okay before I even put the letter in anybody else's mailbox.
Brief factual.
Sure. This is a denial by the town of Oxford. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial for suicidal statements or statement or alleged suicidal statement made by the appellant during a domestic violence arrest that occurred in March of 2022. An emergency committal form was done by the Oxford police along with a risk warrant. The risk warrant was applied for, signed, which expired a year later in March of 2023. The appellant and his attorney supplied numerous documents regarding his character. They were not here, but their letters of reference, quite a few of them, spoke very highly of the appellant's character. And we do have one letter from an LPCA from Wheeler just stating that based on the information reported during the assessment, he was evaluated and not needed further services at this time. There are no substances in his assessment. When his urine was tested, negative for all substances.
Okay, comments by the board?
I look at the range, nothing, you know, as a non-issue, to be honest, regarding this case. The you know, the issue here for personally is the alleged suicidal statements made during the domestic violence arrest and the incident itself. You know, there are a lot of letters that speak fairly highly of your character and things. You've been, seems like, involved with firearms for a very long time. The Wheeler letter, or note from the LPCA, it's to whom it may concern. It doesn't have anything to, there's no statement that this is for the bar, the firearms right, permit
examiner. In my view, it has no value.
No. She owns a lot more weight than I do in that event. And just, you know, people do say, we get letters that the appellant or whoever is not a danger to himself or others. Well, if they were a danger to himself or others, they'd, you know, they'd be under an arrest warrant or something. That's not the standard, whether you're a danger to yourself or others at this time. There's a higher standard for the board. So that's just my comments.
Other comments?
As a layperson, I don't think he's suicidal, and the range doesn't exist anymore. And when you look at the other letters that are in the file that attest to his character, his long history with safe firearms use, and the fact that he's an instructor, I don't see a problem.
I was curious. I was just curious about the range, because I've never heard of somebody putting a range in between. Well, it sounds like a pretty residential area, is that?
I think it just depends on the zoning laws in the municipality. It sounds like Oxfords are fairly loose in that regard.
Other comments?
Just that the range has very little effect on my decision. The mental health issue may or may not be an issue, but the lack of documentation when it was clearly noticed that it was required is. I mean, we're asking to make a judgment. I think when the issuing authority brings up the mental health issue, in this case by an emergency committal, risk warrant, some of the burden now falls upon the appellant to show this is what happened and I'm okay. And we just don't have that.
Yeah.
So, it's a judgment call, but it's a tough one for me.
Yeah. I can feel where this might be going wrong, but what I would say, and it's just so hard to tell people this because people don't understand hospital records. I don't. I mean, I've learned a lot from Dr. Conrad. Thank God she's here, because otherwise I wouldn't know. But usually we really want to see more than 3 pages when there's a mental health issue. So that being said, any other comments before we run the vote? All right, Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to uphold the issuing authority at this time. My suggestion would be, if you choose at some point to reapply, to actually get the emergency room, full emergency room records from the March date, to get a letter that from any mental health professional you've had services with that details their recommendations referable to the issue at hand, that is to have a firearm concealed carry permit in the state of Connecticut. And similarly, unfortunately, the three or four lines from the licensed professional counselor really are insufficient from Wheeler Clinic. Again, if you were going to get records from Wheeler Clinic, one would ask for, please, I'm looking for the full intake records, full intake assessment and evaluation that was performed on such and such a date by such and such a clinician at Wheeler Clinic. And typically for a licensed mental health clinic, a licensed professional counselor can't sign off on an intake assessment by himself or herself. It has to be countersigned by a higher licensed professional.
So I would call these places and just ask
for yeah, this. And usually they'll all ask you to sign a authorization for release of medical record, and then typically detail out exactly what you want.
Okay.
If you were to choose to reapply at a future date. but at this point in time, I feel I have to uphold the decision of the issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
My vote is for the appellate, and I wish him well.
Colonel Overture.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenblatt.
And issuing authority.
And the one more thing I wanted to comment that I meant to comment slightly before, and I don't know, I'm assuming at some point you may reapply. And I don't know if this would come up again because this is in the police record and probably going to disappear at some point. But if what we were talking about with the medications, I know you're not clear what you were taking. At what time, like you were changing with the cold turkey change and all that, it might be helpful to have some clarification on what that was. So I'm voting issuing authority at this time. Wish you best of luck. I know you thought that would be the simplest case today, but it was not. But thank you all for your patience and staying.
Thank you.